Blog Talk Radio.
Is Real Talk, Real Plans with Riri and...
Hi, I'm JC.
Hi, JC. It's so awesome to have you.
Girl, listening to you ad-lib to that intro music was the bomb.
Man, let me tell you something. When I'm around this house, everything is a song.
Girl, everything. Yes. Jam out.
And I just, I make up freestyles, and I've given my son does it too, and it's so funny. Everybody will just look at us, and they'll be like, y'all are so alike. It's like we'll be singing the same thing, and it's not even planned. Like, we're going to wash dishes. We're going to go swim with fishes. And everybody's like, y'all are so weird. And then finally, after I get to know people really well, I go, you know, I went to a performing arts school, right? And they're like, oh, it makes sense now.
Oh, my God, everything makes sense now. I'm so glad that we just reached that level and that you just reached that level with your audience.
I know. I mean, and they still probably think I'm just kind of weird, but, you know.
Well, I mean, people who go to performing arts school are weird. That's part of it, but not in a bad way, in a, like, entertaining way.
Entertaining way, right? I think I missed my calling. I really should have been a stand-up comedian.
Oh, maybe you didn't miss it. Maybe it's still out there for you.
Nah, because I don't want people looking at me now.
Oh.
Now it's like, I like to be behind the scenes. But I'm getting better with these live, like, reels and stuff.
Yeah, well, I feel like also there's a lot of space for stand-up now for joking now, like, in the internet world, and also, like, in a world in which, like, people go to concerts to see people whose faces they can't actually see. Like, they want to hear music from people who are wearing masks on their face, and not, like, the COVID masks, but, like, a whole
face mask. So it's so funny that you said that because I was on the internet, and I apparently, you know, late night Erica be doing some crazy stuff. But apparently I have followed somebody who used to be famous, and she decided she needed to get out of that world, and so now she releases music with a mask on, and it's like sparkly and glittery, and she still releases music.
No, I love it. It's like Sia, like, changed the game for all of us. Like, whatever your thoughts on Sia, like, she wore fucking hair over her face for years.
I don't,
like,
know what,
okay,
that is,
let's go.
I will be Googling her. It's to Google. That's my thing. So first I want to pay some bills. So just hold on one moment. I wonder if I can play my Can We Talk Again? Let me see. Let me try it as we pay bills.
Bum, bum, bum.
I would like to thank our sponsors for today's show. We have okay, so maybe I won't pay bills today. Okay, yes, I will pay bills. I would like to thank our sponsors from the show. We have shopthepaperfan.com. If you are a fan of all things paper, please be sure to go to shopthepaperfan.com. All kind of bookish stickers, bookish journaling kits, those little highlight scribbles that everybody has. She has them in a variety of sizes. You've seen my spreads. You know how awesome it is. Go check it out. Another one of our sponsors.
I'm a fan of the Y2K kit. If I just toss that in there, like, it's so cute.
It's so cute. It just reminds me, you know, I graduated class 2000.
Oh.
Listen, class of 2000, baby. So also I would like to shout out to Frolicking Brains. They are one of our long-term sponsors. If you like to journal, if you like to talk about your feelings, if you want to feel in a way that's not normal, I want to make sure that you head on over to Frolicking Brains Etsy shop, sign up for a journaling class, get you some coaching, honey. Life coaching? Listen, it was life-changing. It was a life-changing experience. And as always, the first one is free, right?
Yep.
All right. So we paid some bills. Oh, also, one more thing. If you would like to donate to the show, if you would like to buy me a cup of coffee so I don't yawn the whole show, or if you'd like to help me keep up with the website that we use and make it just so that we can be even more awesome, please be sure to go to the link in tree in my bio and buy me a cup of coffee or two or five. And shout out to those three supporters who have bought me a cup of coffee. The end. Yay!
Yay! Shout out to the three people. We love you.
We do. We do. We do. We do. And I was forever grateful. And I even cried about it. Like, I did. Like, I can't believe people bought me some coffee. And I'm drinking coffee right now. I got some new coffee. And it is dead on the package, In the Darkness. I can't tell you the brand, but that was the name of it, In the Darkness, because I'm like a dark
In the Darkness. I'm
yes.
For it.
I
want to know, like, what adventures that coffee brings you to. Like, that sounds like fun.
It does. And it was really exciting because I finished setting up Gigi today. Are you planning while we talk? Are you playing with stickers? Are you laying anything down? Let me know how you're feeling before we get started good.
Me?
Yes.
I am not. Okay, so I actually do have a giant pile of stickers that I piled yesterday on planner shenanigans because that's one of the things that I do. I, like, organize stuff before. It's not really organizing. I would say it's, like, disorganizing.
Okay.
Like, I take everything out of the doom piles and I put them in a group and I'm like, I think that this would make a good spread. And I find kits that have colors that are similar to each other or that I think would, like, be a vibe together. Oh my gosh, like, who am I? See that?
You're one of those girlies now.
Apparently. It's like I'm trying to be up with the Gen Z, but I don't have any, like, I haven't reproduced or anything, so, like, I don't have any secondhand knowledge. I just say vibes a lot.
Right. Like my son and that Riz. Yeah, Mom, I got the Riz. I was like, nigga, what is that? What is the Riz?
Okay, but at least, like, you get, like, somebody who says the words. I'm just like, what?
Oh, well, don't worry. When you get in the classroom, you're going to learn it all.
Pick it up from TikTok sometimes. I'm not even really on TikTok a lot. Whatever. Anyway, so I have a giant pile of stickers that I want to use. But I don't know if I'll be making a spread tonight. I get really excited when I'm talking, and it's hard for me to, like, do the creative part of, like, everything while I'm you know, talking about stuff that I was going to say that I care a lot about, but now I don't want people to think on planners. It's not that I don't care. It's just if I'm, like, super actively engaged in a conversation, like, that's what I do, or, like, that and pacing. Like, you can't see the hand gestures that I'm making right now.
But I hear them.
Exactly. If I was planning while I was making these hand gestures, the spread would be bonkers. Maybe I should plan.
Okay. So normally if I'm doing anything, like I do, y'all, listen, I keep saying that I'm going to tell y'all all about my therapies and this whole DUI court program and all this other stuff, like the real life stuff. I mean, it's still funny and shit because I just got a good sense of humor, but that shit is whack, man. But anyway.
It being so whack is, like, why, wow, that just came out of my mouth in a weird way. But, like, it being bonkers is, like, why it's funny. It's like one of those like real life like jokes. The first
right.
time you told me about it, like you saw my jaw. It was on the floor. I was like, this isn't real, is it?
Yeah.
I was like, this is divine intervention. Like someone must have wanted real, real bad for this to happen to you.
They did, but you know, and I just keep okay, so I'm gonna talk about it for like 2 seconds. Okay. It's funny because like now I'm getting ready to go to phase four. And so right now we have to be in class with people from phase one. And I absolutely wanted to strangle them. Like I just wanted to, I always crack up when I hear this word, but I'm going to use it. I wanted to throttle them. Like, shut up. You don't know anything. You don't know shit. Shut the fuck up. You don't know.
It's just so interesting how knowledge works. Like, okay, we learned about this in pedagogy, in my language pedagogy seminar.
Tell people what pedagogy is. I know what it is.
Oh, sorry.
But tell people what pedagogy is.
So I'm a German studies graduate student, and I have taught German language. And I am in one of the coolest, like my program is one of the best, it might be like the best, like language programs in German for graduate students, because we have these pedagogy seminars, which are about how to teach teaching, right? It's about pedagogy is the study, the OG of teaching.
Yeah.
And
when
so,
we got in pedagogy classes, we was all like, what the fuck is pedagogy? And then once somebody was like, it's teaching you how to teach. And we was like, oh.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's learning how to teach. It's the study of teaching. And so one of the things that we learned is the way that we read all of these like cognitive science texts in German, of course. I was like, what is happening? But one of the super, super cool things about the brain is that like once you have knowledge, it just like deletes that you never had the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel, that's why like when you know something and you like look at somebody who doesn't know it and you're just like, oh my God, you're fucking stupid. like that's where that vibe comes from. I know that that's not kind, but like we all feel it, and we feel it because our brains, it's a lot of effort for our brains to like remember how we used to not know something and then how we learned it, like the process of learning. And then now that we know it, our brains are basically like, okay, once we know something, we can just like delete that we don't know it. And that's why it's really hard. Like if you're, you know, I'm just like trying to think about your audience. Like if y'all are, you know, posting stuff on the internet, that's like, you know, this is how I did this. The effort that it takes to come up with, like, okay, how did I not know how to do this? And then how did I learn this? And, like, what are actually the steps that would be helpful for someone who doesn't know how to do this and would be accessible for someone who doesn't know how to do this? Or if you're, like, watching people talk about how they did it and you're like, that doesn't help me do it, like, that's why. It's because it actually takes a lot of effort, a lot of, like, cognitive training to think back to the time when you didn't know something,
yeah.
and then also you know, think through the steps of like, okay, how did I learn this? It's also why,
like, simplify steps too, not just the steps,
and
but
simplify it for
simplify
sure.
Simplify steps,
and you know, like simple is like not not like my. It takes me a lot of effort because I'm just like, let me tell you all the complications. Aren't they so interesting?
So
and
two
like,
things.
What do you want me to do?
Two things. The first thing is I was talking to someone the other day, and their little baby in the background was like, how do you spell our last name again? She was like, you know how to spell our last name. And I was like, that's only because you've been spelling it for 50 years. She's only been spelling it for
exactly.
two. She forgot.
Exactly.
And she's like, oh, I never thought about it like that. So, you know, we have to be gentle, even with our children. We have to be gentle. You know better. You know you're not supposed to do that. You know they do know. But they're consuming so much information
mm-hmm.
at one time that they forget.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's information overload.
I love that you just simplified that so well. And I can tell a story as, like, somebody who didn't realize, I was diagnosed with ADHD at 28, and oh my God, everything made sense. Like, all of the, like, weird shit that I felt, like, all of my, like, little traumas, even, like, when it came to learning, made sense. And one of them, not to, like, share my trauma with you, that's not, but, like, when I was
in trauma bond, I'm okay with that.
It's not quite. But, like, one of the things that made sense was when I was in kindergarten, first grade, I don't know. We were moving a lot then, so I, like, can't, I don't have distinct, like, I don't know, you know, which thing I was in. But basically, we were, like, making little books, and I was writing a sentence. I don't know what the sentence was, but I very distinctly remember that I spelled of, O-V. And my teacher came up behind me, and they were like, you know how to spell. You know how to spell. You know how to spell of. How do you spell of? And I was like, I don't know. And, like, of course there were times in which I did know how to spell of, O-F. But in that particular
information overload.
Exactly. And under those conditions, I'm on a computer for one of the first times. I mean, we had computers when I was growing up, but I'm, like, on a computer in that building for the first time, like, typing things out for the, you know, first time in that space, you're overloaded. And the other cool thing that I learned in pedagogy class, aka the study of learning, or the study of teaching, one of the really cool things that we learned is that when you learn new things, you forget old things.
Yeah.
It's really hard for your brain, even stuff that, like, was automatic before, or it was becoming automatic, you just, like, had to think about it a little bit, or it was, like, newly became automatic. And so totally normal for your students, and I'm sure any teachers on the call are gonna have plenty of examples of this, but it's so normal to forget how to do stuff when you're learning something new, and for it to look like a full regression. So, like, when I was teaching German, it would look as if, like, people just, like, forgot all of everything that we had done for the last, like, 6 weeks. Every time I taught a new skill.
I really want you to hit them with the bomb of, like, where you went, because I hear the school, like, I just heard one of them maybe yesterday or the day before for the first time, and I was like, this bitch is a genius.
It's not okay. The most important thing about me, I feel like. I'll give you my CV if you want my CV. That's fine. I can give you, like, all the monies that I recruited to fund my PhD.
You really are. I'm not even being funny. Like, you really are a genius. And
I don't know how to respond to that, but I do love
watching your spread. And to watch the creativity that comes from it, and to watch you talk, and to see you process, and to even recognize those same ADHD tendencies. So you got diagnosed at 28. I was just diagnosed 6 months ago.
Girl, high five.
Thank you. And so to recognize some of those same tendencies. Am I a genius? Absolutely not. Am I really smart? Sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I understand.
That's how I feel about me, too. And that's how I feel about you. I'm like, girl, you are brilliant. You are a genius. You are taking over the world.
You get paid in air.
That they don't even know that they need.
You get paid in air hugs to say that.
I receive them with so much joy.
You do. Okay, well, since you're not planning, I am in my podcast journal, and I'm just going to be laying washi as we chit-chat. I usually like washi some page with some, you know, washi that I have around. And then slap some dolls on it. You know, just stuff I don't normally use, but I don't mind using, because I have so many books that shop your stash. And so,
girl, it's hard when Verse Planning is dropping everything that they're dropping, like all of their summer collections with the babes in the what is it called, in that like mesh, in that
Bruh.
like crocheted mesh material. Oh,
so mad
when they're dropping denim, when they're dropping, like, Birth Planning needs to sponsor this podcast, too. When they're dropping their, the sticker book is about to come out. The second one has 40 pages in it. I'm like, what?
I didn't even get
like,
the
how are you supposed to shop your stash?
I didn't even get the first one. I sent her a message like, bruh, save me one. Save me one.
Girl,
and I know she can't because everybody would.
If you want the first sticker book, I got your back.
Yeah, yeah. I think I need that. If I can't get the second one, then I might need the first one. But I'm going to try like hell to get that first one. I almost applied for the team. And then I was just like, it's so many of my friends there. I don't want to do that to my friends. We're all so cool with each other.
I mean, I think the coolest thing about being a Verse Planning rep is the early access.
Listen.
Both to be able to purchase, but even just like, okay, a couple weeks after I joined, Abby was like, I'm so glad you're here. Don't distribute these. And she sent me her goth, like pictures from the goth collection. And I was like, Abby, how do you know my soul? Like, how did you know that this was me? Also, oh my God, this is insane. So, like, I knew months before it was coming out. And I think that she does that with different reps who, like, she thinks, you know, are really vibing with different collections or, like, are really going to vibe with different collections. And that's, like, one of the coolest things about working with them.
Well, I need her to know that I bought that collection so fast.
I can't.
The goth collection? Oh, yeah, I need that.
Copies of that collection I have because I love it so much.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a good one for me.
Yeah, it's still up on the website if anybody else to explore their inner goth. I believe that
it's
going to
be good for, I mean, even if you're not a goth girl, you're going to love it for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll give a little pop to your spread. We're going to be doing black and orange. I mean, just a bad bitch on your spread. You know the vibe.
No, totally. I think also if you like black, this will give you a bunch of dolls that are like black and. So there's like black and red dolls. There's black and green dolls. Like I totally relived my, like there was this one point in middle school, this one year I was obsessed with black and green. And I had like whole hairstyles planned. My mom was like, you're going to look like a green skunk, like a skunk that like fell into a pool. And I was like, I don't give any fucks.
Radioactive skunk. My son thinks he's a god. That he's a emo right now. So
oh my
emo.
Gosh. Okay.
He's so emo. Boy, shut up. No, you're not.
And all of the babes that he's hanging out with, like all the emo babes.
Right.
Anyway, it's a super fun collection. It's one of my all-time faves from them.
So before we get into some good stuff, what do you know about these conferences?
I've never been to a conference. I know that you go to a bunch and you've met like really dope humans at a bunch, and I'm jealous of you for having met. Well, I'm glad that we, because I feel like we learned about each other and met each other through connections that you made at conferences.
Yes.
I'm friends with people who went to conferences and met you, and now I'm friends with you who go to conferences and meet other people. So thank you for doing the networking for me.
You're welcome.
All the cool people, weeding them out, and also doing all of that, like, social labor.
And I will be weeding their ass out, okay? You hear me? I've actually been trying to, you know, for people who need a community who I actually kind of like, I've really been trying to get them to come into the community, come to Planet Shenanigans, see what it's about. I'm always late. I always tell them, like, if you come on time, let me know and I'll come early. But I always
anybody
come late.
come on time and tell Erica so she'll come early because she brings the party.
I only come late because I stay so late. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to monopolize a whole, you know, like these people be partying. Anyway, so there is the Sugary Gal Shop conference coming up.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so let's just be messy. Sugary
All
Gal
right.
Shop, CPC, which is Chicago Planner Conference, they are all like within a weekend of each other.
That's
Baby,
a lot.
It is. Guess what?
What?
Somebody else done popped up with one.
Oh!
That same, like around that same weekend. Trent Precious himself is having a 10-year anniversary meetup on November the 4th for his 10-year anniversary.
Before 2020, was that normal that people had, like, meetups, like, that shops would just sponsor, like, meetups and not just sponsor conferences, but that they would create their own conferences and stuff? Was that
normal? I don't know. See, I was a planner babe. I want to say before Planet got cool.
Okay.
I didn't find the community until about 2018, 2019, but I wasn't going nowhere because I got a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, by the time he got old enough, I'm like, okay. Then it was COVID, and so nothing was happening. So I'm not really sure. I know there was, you know, a few go wilds, and it was like the big thing that everybody was doing, but I don't really remember lots of, you know, shops doing it.
I think that if I remember correctly, Dribble Prints Co. at least had swag for a meetup. I don't know if it was canceled because of COVID or if they actually did one. Wait, can we ask the audience, if you went to a planner conference or like a meetup or something, or if you know anything about this era, like pre-COVID, if it was normal for shop for like three conferences / shop sponsored bashes? Bashes sounds hardcore. I meant like bash in like a fun celebration way, but maybe we also mean a little bit of like, you know, I'm a bash you, whatever. If you know if this was normal.
Yeah, I don't remember any of them being in the same weekend or the same couple of weeks.
I mean, I guess like now that there are only 52 weeks of the year and there are only so many of those that are kind of reasonable for travel. So maybe the thought is just like, well, I'd rather compete with these other conferences than, especially if the conferences are like pretty local or even if they're national, right? I know a lot of people can't or choose not to go wild because not because they don't want to go to a conference, but because of expenses and because of how far it is.
Let me see if I can give out the number to tell people to call just in case.
Oh, okay.
If you guys know anything about, like you said, these conferences pre-COVID and want to spill the tea, let me know. The number is 515-602-96. Again, that number is 515-602-96. 02-9680. Okay.
Perfect. We look forward to hearing from you.
I do. I would keep looking over here. We're 30 minutes in. I need to get a move on. Okay.
Yeah, so we've been 30 minutes. Like, I want to talk to people. I mean, love talking to you. We could also just go all night, as you know.
As we know. Okay, so we talked,
okay, so you read that as messy. Like, you read that as, like, slightly shady that they would pick this weekend.
I do. Am I wrong for that, though?
No, I think that is legit, because Chicago Planner Conference is, like, it's not local. Like, it says Chicago, but it's not a local, like, people, it's a national conference. Like, my understanding is that CPC is, like, next to, it's, like, Go Wild and then CPC in terms of, like, the bigness.
Yeah.
But then also, but that's like from what people were saying pre-pandemic. So I don't know like what their registration numbers are and how like diverse they are in terms of like where people are flying in from. I also know that the one in California, like that regional conference is also really big. Was it like Southern or West Coast Planners? That's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The thing is, SGS did theirs a long time ago. SGS announced theirs a long time ago. CPC announced theirs at the beginning of February. And now he, you know, Print Fashion came and he doing his in California, but it is on the other side of the world. I mean, other side of the country.
Right.
So maybe it's like, okay, y'all, it might not be able to afford to go to Chicago, but here we are in California.
Yeah, I know that. So last year, oh, actually, okay, I have been to a planner meetup. The only one that I went to, that I've been to, is Simply Gilded. And I made that fucking happen because I had been in Germany for 3 years without leaving the fucking country during the pandemic, like moving to different places. It was wild. And the weekend that I picked to come home, or I picked to come home like the week before the weekend of the Simply Gilded meetup. And I was flying into Dallas to come visit my mom, ended up staying here for the next year, which I can go into if anybody gives any fucks. But here to visit and flying in from Germany, and the warehouse is in McKinney, which is like North Dallas. And I was like, this is, I have to fucking go there. So even though I missed a flight, and it took me like 48 hours to get home instead of the planned 24, I was like, Mom, we are going to the Simply Gilded warehouse sale tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah. I just saw that she had like a birthday party or something recently.
Yeah.
And I was looking like, what the fuck? I want to go.
But I think that both of those, sorry, I think the reason that I wanted to bring that up is that both of those were, like, super regional. It was like, hey, if you're in the area, like, I do think that some people went out of their way to come, like, some, like, hardcore stands. But I think the idea was, like, just, hey, we need to move inventory. I think it was, like, very inventory, like, there are going to be good deals. Like, we, you know, need to do, like, I think Irene chose to do it, like, for the shop. Purposes, they did have like stuff that I would, that I associate with conferences. Like they had, characters like mascots playing, Jasper and Juniper that you could take pictures with. Yeah. They had like, refreshments cause it was a really hot warehouse and it was Texas and it was the summer and that, but that's where I met, some people who I had only met online to that point. Like I met Danny from Danny Plans It. J-Bay, his hubby, and I had some conversations about science fiction that were delightful. And so that was like the first time that I met like planner people that I felt like were planner famous in in person. And that's what I feel like is maybe the cool part of conferences. But I feel like the more nationalized, like the less, I don't know. Maybe I just like the regional or the like more local. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I did go to
when they get too big, they lose some of the intimacy and genuineness of it. Yes, I completely agree. I just put those words in her mouth, y'all. That was me, not her.
No, I hard agree.
Well, I'm really excited. So, okay, before we go to the next topic. Did you know Taylor Swift's re-released album came out?
Do I know? Oh my gosh, I watched the new music video like over and over and over and over again last night, and I also listened to the album over and over and over again. Okay, I have been, some of y'all may know this if you know me, but most of y'all probably don't. I read a lot, and by read, I mean I listen to audiobooks a lot, and I'm obsessed right now, well, and for years, with the Psy Changeling trilogy by Nalini Singh. And for the last 3 months, I've been listening nonstop. There are like 21 books so far in the series, and there are 6 books, so 21 total, and 6 of those are, 15 of those are like the first, quote unquote, like the first season of the book, of the series, and then 6 of those are in a new world, and I am obsessed with, not a new world, they're, it's the same world, it's just in different kind of, a different focus, and different kind of characters and stuff, and I have been, the old characters are still there, but it's like a different focus, so I am like legit obsessed. I have been listening to the books, like those 6 books over and over and over again for the last 3 months, and the only thing that stopped me, the book club has barely stopped me, the only thing that has really stopped me for a whole night is Taylor Swift's Speak Now, which I listened to like 3 times the night it came out. It's so good.
Well, you make me want to listen to it.
It's so really, what I love about it is that, and almost, I feel like it's maybe even better than the original in that she has this, so the album itself is really about growth and a loss of innocence. Because so Taylor wrote it between the ages of like 18 and 20, and when she was in some of her first like most public relationships, not most public, sorry, like her first relationships with you know, older, some like older men. And so it's I see it as an album reflecting on, it's also you know, after Fearless, like Taylor Swift was a good album, and I think a lot of people in country knew about it, but I think that like Fearless was the album that like sent her, you know, skyrocketing, and this was an album that she wrote all by herself after that. And I think it's partly a reflection. It's a reflection on the loss of innocence that happens, you know, in that period, which I think a lot of us can relate to, when you are like leaving your parents' house, when you're, you know, having legal sexual encounters, but they're like early and you don't, you're reflecting for you. Yeah, they don't, fumbling, you don't have the relationship experience, and your brain isn't fully developed yet for almost another decade to like know what flags mean. You know what I mean? Like you know what flags mean now because you learned then. And so the album, I actually really like it from, like, I love this like re-recording from her perspective now, because when I was that age, like, I didn't have the maturity to reflect on like my loss of innocence. I was just like, you know, get me the fuck out of this house. Like, what is going on with my life? Like, I can't keep up with like the stuff that I'm supposed to be studying. And I was just like an ADHD nightmare. Like, I was from class sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not, at classes at 9 a.m. I just, like, missed those. But the, you know, 6 p.m. classes, like, there was this one where, okay, I don't have to justify it to people on Twitter.
Right. No.
Whatever. Anyway, it was, right, but that time was just, like, crazy for me. I wasn't even in a place where I could, like, reflect on it. And so I really am loving listening to the album now, and I think that Taylor's, like, voice now also lends it to, like, I feel like I am hearing somebody my age reflect on that period, and I don't know, it was super just, like, I don't know, I was just, like, crying a lot and nostalgic and, like, thinking back, and that's the vibe. Like, I would go.
So Taylor Swift is for you what Beyonce and Monica and Brandy are for us.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we kind of grew up together. We're all the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what you were singing about. It. Can you pay my bills? Because at that time I was thinking, whereas now I'm like, let me upgrade you. Now I'm like,
no,
I'm cozy. Cozy than
a motherfucker. Like, because like, they were a little bit older than me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I can definitely feel you on that. Swifties. Okay, y'all make more sense now. Make more sense now. Okay. So, let's just talk about something. I got one more thing, but I'm going to save that for the end so we can end on a lighter note also. I need you to just tell me, can you riddle me this? What is AI art? Can you tell me?
Yeah, so AI stands for artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Art is art, so it's, you know, art made with artificial intelligence. But what is artificial intelligence, I think, is the question. And
when I think about artificial intelligence, I think about a damn robot.
Right. Exactly. So I think that AI programs, I think, are trying to, okay, y'all are, just follow me for a minute, because this is like my technology study, like my science and technology studies background coming out a little bit. So, but just hang with me. I think that AI programs and companies are trying to leverage our ideas about what AI is, right? They're trying to be like, hey, this is a robot. Have a robot do it for you. Like, this is like a brain cell, right? It's like intelligence. It's like a robot. It can think for you. Or it can do, like, the hard work of, like, generating a draft for you. But AI isn't, they're not, artificial intelligence isn't actually artificially intelligent in the sense that it's not conscious. If it was conscious.
Let's start there.
We would be having much bigger conversations about the ethics of enslaving a consciousness to do, like, to create art for us at a click of a button, right? Like, if it was intelligent, like, if we were in Westworld, we would be having, like, you know, different conversations. My understanding of what is called AI programs are essentially these mass aggregators that connect to the internet and that use the internet in order to connect to a wider like to pull on a giant amount of data. And they're these, you know, massive aggregators that take a ton of computing power because they're pulling from these, like, huge fields. So that's what I understand it to be. I could be wrong. You know, I'm open to feedback there. But it's not a brain cell, right? It's an aggregator that's connected to a big set brand to aggregate that data somewhat independently and to over time refine its refine the methods that it uses to aggregate that data.
And by aggregate, you mean comb through.
To comb through to reproduce from, right? And it produces something that looks like what humans have created in the past, like the data that it is aggregating. So it's combing through, it's creating something like what humans have created, and that's why it appears to be intelligent. But it's really a like pattern recognition, like aggregation software.
Basically, in
Word, you can ask it, like even old school Word, you can ask it to, not like very first Word, but like, you know, pretty early on in Word, you could like ask that little paperclip dude to write.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. You could ask him to like write a summary for you, and it would like put a summary of your paper. It would like do its best to like aggregate, to like call it, to like, quote unquote, read. It's not reading because what a brain cell, like what a collection of brain cells, aka a brain, does when it's reading is different than what these programs are doing when they're reading, when they're quote unquote reading, right? When they're, you know, creating something that mimics what humans do. It's basically like that kind of summary that you would get from Word. But instead of just your paper that it's reading, you know, tons of papers. It's at a different scale. And so it appears intelligent. Like that summary is not going to be any better than your paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not going to make your paper more intelligent. But if you can pull from a bunch of stuff, then maybe you could get a summary that looks better than what you could have written yourself.
Right.
And that's what AI does.
Okay.
And AI art is art that's created in that way. So it draws from styles, and it draws from art that has been created by humans, often without their consent. And that's what I understand to be like legally debated right now, like in the court, is like if it's legal for them to be able, for the programmers to be able to point to have the robot, the computer program, pull from and copy essentially styles of artists who are, you know, who post stuff online to try to promote their work, but don't consent to it being used to create, you know, new, essentially copied artwork.
Okay.
And that's where the kind of ethical issue is like art, right? And you, I mean, you also get that with AI video, where like actors who have acted in movies, if you program those movies into certain AI programs, it can reproduce a movie basically in the same ways that it generates AI art, except over time and also with voice. And it can reproduce a thing that looks like the Lord of the Rings, but is different from Lord of the Rings, and does whatever you want Lord of the Rings to have done, right?
So nobody thinks that's creepy?
I think,
like,
it's creepy.
Is it like what they did with, you know, that guy, President Snow in The Hunger Games?
Yeah. I don't know about that. I think it's kind of like what they did with, just because I don't remember, but it's like what they did with that dude in Fast and Furious with the guy who died. Like, you know how they had that final scene while the music was playing of them driving together? And it was clearly a AI-generated image, but AI is getting better and better and better at being able to mimic.
Well, that's exactly what they did with that guy.
With Snow?
Yeah. It wasn't Snow. Maybe it was Peter, whoever it was. Somebody died. And they kept him in the movie.
Yeah. It's like that. Except I think that with, you know, franchises like that, hopefully that was like in their contract and they weren't, you know, and that would be something that if an actor consents to that, right? Like, okay, I'm playing this character, my, what do they call it? Like my
likeness,
exactly, can be used in order to promote this or like in order to like complete this. Chris Walker. Thank you, Candace.
I wanted to take a second to check. My bad.
If Chris Walker, I think, is the one in Fast and Furious. Like, if an actor has consented, that's one thing. And if an artist has consented, that's one thing. I think the issue is when you can just use anything. Like, when I could program and pull up Lord of the Rings and create something that looks like Lord of the Rings, that's basically Lord of the Rings fan fiction, but with video, without, you know, with all, and not just, like, with my memory of having read the story, right? Because, like, look, right. I mean, I've read fan fiction from when I was 13. It's not, like, or actually younger. It's not that I think that, like,
I remember the good
experiences with text are important. It's when you use those to profit, I think, is the issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, like, large corporate, I mean, I also just want to, like, put a little asterisk, which is that, like, Lord of the Rings probably makes too much money, and, like, I am pro, like, Lord of the Rings fan art. I think it's when it comes to kind of small artists,
yeah,
and styles that people, you know, went to art school to develop and haven't yet been able to sell enough to compensate even for the amount that they spent, right? Like, we're talking, I mean, because the issue isn't that this is replacing big corporations. The issue is that AI programs are run by big corporations and are being used by other people to profit in smaller, they're taking from smaller artists and essentially replicating, and the years of study that they have to go through in order to create their style, and also the immense bravery that it takes to post your art on the internet. Like, we all know, if you've posted a planner spread on the internet, you know how much bravery it takes to do that. Imagine having an art style and you don't know, right? Like, and you don't know if people are going to like it or not. And for a while, people don't like it because most people don't start with like big followings, even, or like by big reaches, even if their art is incredible. Anyway, sorry. So, like, it's like, it's that. It's like, oh, I can just do that now, to the bravery.
So why do you think that we need to be having this conversation in the planner community? Well, okay. Yeah. So why do you think that? And then we'll talk about why I know you think that.
Okay. And I'll try to be brief, because I know I've ranted for the last like 23 minutes or longer. Like, I think that we need to have this conversation because there's a ton of AI art in our community. And just like back in the day, you know, when all of us get into the planner community and we see this beautiful art, and we think, like, oh, people all draw this. Like, I buy this from this company, and that person draws it because it looks hand-drawn. This person makes that. And then we have to learn, like, no, clip art is a thing. So people design that for our planners, which is a skill. It's an important skill. But people design that for our planners. It's a different skill than drawing or of creating something from nothing.
Yeah.
And they pay the people who create something from nothing, and then they design it for our planners, right? We all have to kind of, like, learn that as we get into the community. So I noticed a ton of AI art. I was just on Etsy, and I had started, like, looking into clip art for my shop. And
Timeless Blog, Frolicking Brains.
Yeah, my shop is Frolicking Brains. I was just, like, looking into clip art, you know, just, like, casually. I'm, like, always looking into new things. I'm always interested in new things. And And I was just, like, flipping through, and, you know, maybe you don't know me, humans. Well, you do now. So I have I'm getting my PhD. I have a master's. One of my favorite things about my PhD programs is my pedagogy seminar. So, like, we're nerds over here, and I usually read, like, everything in a description. I have encyclopedic knowledge of, like, everybody's shops and what you can get where. And, like, I just, my version of serial killer trivia is, like, planner supply trivia and art trivia, like, planner art trivia. So I was clicking through the slides, and I wasn't just like, this is cute. I was like, I just, like, kept clicking through, like, what all is in here? Like, I want to see all these images. And at the end of the listing, it showed on Etsy, it showed an image of how this is made. And there was, like, hand-drawn, there was something else, and then there was AI or a mixture. And I was like, AI? And it was pointed at AI. Like, there was, like, a check mark by AI. And I was like, AI. And then I, like, looked at all their other listings, which I had seen in a ton of planner shops. And I was like, all of these are generated by AI. Like, I didn't know how I felt about AI at that point. I didn't know much about AI, but I was like, I knew that people had feelings about AI. I knew that it was an unresolved ethical conversation happening, you know, where actors are striking, where writers are striking. I know that it's a conversation happening in a lot of different communities. And I was like, this is just being sold as if it's regular clip art. Like, people need to know if they're paying, like, if the art that they're using, and I think about planner art as, like, this is the art that I'm using to create my future, to envision my future. And, like, I want to know if that's generated by a human or by a machine. If you don't care, that's totally fine. If you just want pretty art, or if you want fantastical art to envision your future, or if you want AI art, that's great too. It doesn't really matter where you stand on that debate, but I'm like, we should be able to know. But, like, I didn't know, and I bought some of this. And so I was like, that's why I posted what I posted, but also that's why I think we need to have this conversation. And that's why I approached you a week before, over a week before all of the stuff happened, like, before the conversation really took off in the planner community. I approached you and was like, oh my gosh, you have a podcast. Like, Erica, this needs to be a conversation. We need to talk about it, because people need to know if the images that they are using are being generated, and if the money that they're paying is supporting people who create these images with, you know, with their hands, or, you know, from their brains, from nothing, or using stolen art.
So do you think that all of the AI art comes from stolen art?
Probably not. I'm not sure. I think most of it does, from what I understand. You can also research specific AI generators. And so each generator is going to use different input based on what it's been programmed to use. Most of the generators that I have seen, actually the only generator that I've seen mentioned so far in the planner community is Midjourney. And my understanding is that Midjourney does use stolen art. And I've had a number of conversations with people who sell AI clip art, and all of them have told me that they use Midjourney. They don't say it has stolen art. Like, I don't accuse them of whatever. I'm just like, hey, they use Midjourney, from what I understand.
Okay.
Which is specific. Midjourney is a specific AI program.
Okay. And I know there are others, because I'm in a Discord with some of my favorites, and there were a couple of them that weren't Midjourney, that were quote unquote easier to use. I think Midjourney just has a bigger, I guess you would say the nerd term would be aggregator, but the common people term like me would say a bigger pool to surf through.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and that could be that it has a bigger pool because it uses stolen art. But it could be that, and it could be that the others have a smaller pool because it doesn't use stolen art, because artists give their consent, or it uses art. So, okay, so the way that, like, copyright works is that after 100 years, everything is, like, public, from what I understand. So, like, every year, there are new books that move into the public domain this isn't necessarily the case, because sometimes there are estates and stuff, but every year, like, publications, at least, like, books move into the public domain. So this was, like, a big deal when The Great Gatsby moved into the public domain. I remember that being, like, a big deal so now you can basically access The Great Gatsby through probably, like, Project Gutenberg and other, like, legal sites that, like, contain literature and stuff like
kind
that.
Kind of like Zora Neale Hurston and all of her works?
I don't know specifically, but, yeah, like, that, it's a thing where that happens with literature, and I'm not sure exactly how it works with art, but basically there are, if you're drawing from, and I know because I learned a little bit about digital in my digital humanities. I had, like, one single class on it. And I remember that there are things where if you're searching for stuff early on, you can use, like, just, like, Google's standard, like, set of tools easier to use because there aren't, you know, barriers to access. And this is all in literature, so I'm not exactly sure, again, how it works for art. But there are all of these, like, like, it's easier to search for stuff in the 19th century, aka the 1800s, sometimes because there are barriers to accessing texts, you know, that aren't 100 plus years old. So I would say that, you know, if you're using work that has become a part of the public domain and work that that artists have consented to, it's possible that that's why they have a smaller pool. Come back to the point. I don't know, though. So, and I think a lot of this stuff is still proprietary, and we only know it because of the legal battles that are playing out. And some people might be okay with stolen art. That's also totally fine. I think there are reasons, and, you know, you and I talked about this when we were prepping for the show. I strongly believe that there are very good reasons to where the stealing of the art is not the, is okay. It's basically justified by the outcome, like by the purpose of using the stolen art. That said, just because I think, you know, nothing is, ethics aren't black and white, right? It's all contextual, like
morality. Exactly.
But it is often stolen art. And I don't, what am I trying to say? I don't know. Maybe some of them don't use stolen art and that's great, but, like, often we don't know, and that's why
you other motherfuckers that know you're stealing it and quit
the house, etc. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying these other motherfuckers stealing and quit that shit. That's what we're trying to say. Stop stealing shit.
I mean, I'm not trying to say stop stealing shit. I'm just saying, like, if you, like, say if this is used with AI or not. But I think that a lot of shops who are resistant to saying that, the reason that they're scared is because they think that people will think that it's stolen. And it's like, okay, but if you know that it's made with, you know, not with Midjourney, with another, or that Midjourney doesn't have stolen art, like, that's information that you can publicize too. And that should be part of this conversation, right? It's a conversation that needs to happen. And right. I think that's important for people to make decisions that align with their values. Like, I shop small, because I don't want fucking homophobic happy planner to get my money. But if it turns out that you're homophobic, like you, like a small shop is homophobic, then I'm not going to shop with them. It's like, and so some people are like, well, I'm just not going to post my homophobia on the internet. Like, yeah, okay, then I wouldn't know. But I shop small because I assume that humans are better than corporations. That's actually something that this whole shebangle that we may get into later has taught me. Sometimes, I mean, I have literally had the thought multiple times, like, why the fuck don't I just shop at Happy Planner? At least I know they're homophobic.
So the reason why I had you on the show, just in case the listeners have no idea, is because you had the planner community draws in a bunch, honey. They were like, so, you said what?
I like giving wedgies.
Exactly. And baby, when I say they were sick, so you made a post that simply said, don't quote me here, but it simply said, you know, dear shop owners, as AI clip art circulates in our community, circulates, our community craves more transparency about the images we are purchasing. Please clearly state whether or not your images are AI or something to that effect. Am I kind of on the right?
Yeah, I said it with, like, bigger words because we all know that I just dropped pedagogy on this podcast. In fact, the first time I think I ever called into this podcast is because someone said the word discourse, and I was like, oh, oh.
Yeah, let's do that.
Discourse.
Right.
So I used words, but basically I was like, hey, I want us to be able to make purchasing decisions that align with our values.
Okay.
State
to me, okay, keep going. Sorry.
Oh, please state the origin of the art that you use. The origins of the art that you use.
Okay. Please state the origin of the art that you use. Okay. To me, that simply says, tell me where it came from.
Yeah, did it come from people? Did it come from people and machines? Did it come from stolen art?
It's not your asshole. Tell me where it came from, because I just want to know. I didn't say I won't buy it. I didn't say
I won't buy it. In my caption, I say I might buy it. If you clearly state I might buy it, but if you don't state and I know that you know, I won't buy it.
Period. So I looked at it. I think I gave it a heart. Maybe said, hell yeah, hell fucking yeah, something like that. And I went on about my business. Matter of fact, I sent you a message and was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go. Because we had been talking about it for like 2 weeks.
Right. Because I had lots of conversations. This wasn't the first time that I posted about it. It was the first time that it was on my Instagram feed. But I had posted stories about it and had lots of fun. Not lots, a few fun. When I talked, sorry. So when I said that, like, our community craves transparency, I had been talking to people who were like, wait, what do you mean AI art? Like, what do you mean AI generated this picture? And I was like, yeah. So I had, like, posted some stories, and I had, you know, multiple conversations with folks, all of which were just, like, super normal.
Just random smart people shit.
With humans who are like, wait, AI, like, robots are generating the art that we're using? And I was like, yeah, I don't really know if they're robot. Like, I didn't even know at that point, like, what AI meant. I was just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, ChatGPT is writing our books now. Like, robots are generating our art. Like, I just want to know. And so every conversation that I'd had was either with folks who didn't give a fuck. Like, I brought it up on Planner Shenanigans, and, like, no one was interested in
it. And, like, crickets, we don't care.
Yeah, they were just like, what do you mean? Like, let's move on. And then I had some DM conversations with people who were like, what? And then some people who were like, let's, like, hash out. My friend Tai Hong and I have a lot of, like, philosophical discussion.
Yeah. When y'all started talking about that fucking purple last night, I was like, ooh, let me hit that J. Yeah.
If anybody needs updates on the purple, please check out my Threads account where I go into it in detail.
You did not go immediately to Threads to talk about it.
Of course I did.
Of course you did.
I was
reading the
shenanigans all last night. Y'all, I'm obsessed with Threads.
Is it because it's so much like Twitter?
I don't know. I was never really into Twitter because I didn't do social media for, like, a big chunk of my life. But what I love about Threads is that it's just, like, fully unhinged.
It is.
And I'm here for it.
I'm on there, and I'm, like, talking about these whack-ass freebies, and I'm like, really? Nobody's going to comment? Because I know y'all tired of that shit, too. But anyway, that's another comment.
Oh, yeah. Whack-ass freebies are – okay, I have lots of thoughts about – maybe that's, like, a whole another episode in the future. It's, like
– yeah, I have it on my thing. We're going to talk about that for sure.
Okay, perfect. Because, I've put so much thought into the freebies that I've created.
Yeah. Okay. So after, you know, you have that conversation – and, you post it. I go back and look at it or something after you finally like my shit, and it's a million goddamn comments.
Yeah.
And people are in their feelings.
People have lots of feelings. They actually, in the comments at first on my post, people didn't have a ton. I mean, there were a lot of people who actually met a lot of, like, hand-drawn clip artists. I say hand-drawn, like, you know, interfacing with technology, but not, from what I understand, stolen art. Maybe some of the techniques are stolen, like, I don't know, but from what I understand, it's not. So, yeah, anyway, sorry, that
Wait,
was like
let me just put it up. But if you are a consumer, somebody who shops small, shops big, and you know, what are your feelings about AR art as a consumer? Somebody who just buys shit, like me.
Love that. Like, do you care? Do you not give a fuck? I want to hear.
Yeah. Call in 515-602-9680. Again, that's 515-602-9680. Okay.
Cool.
But yeah. So, like you said, when you first did it, people didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, but then I started, then I actually heard from you.
Yeah.
Some people, like I said, some of the hand-drawn clip artists, I didn't know most of them, but I met a bunch of folks who were like, yeah, this is, like, we have feelings about this. And they were sharing my posts and commenting in their stories, or they were commenting on my posts and sharing their thoughts. I received a lot of comments that were like, what? I didn't know that this was AI. Like, how do we find out if it's AI? Like, that kind of stuff. And then some comments that were like, well, shop owners probably, you know, don't tell because XYZ. And to those comments, I was like, okay. Yeah, there are lots of reasons why people are unethical. Moving on. My life.
Okay, so y'all remember me talking about the Three Musketeers, right? Those were the three shops that left me. Oh, I don't have my song queued up, In the Arms of an Angel, but imagine that playing in the background. Those were the three. So those were the three shops that left me high and dry. They moved to Discord and told me that I was going to be there and never sent me the link, never accepted me. Well, anyway, they all three, we ain't got much. We got some time, but I could be really messy about this. But same, all three sent a message at the same exact time saying they wanted to know how we felt about AI art because they all used it and they needed to know if we were for it, we were against it, and they were all trying not to be involved in drama and blah, 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 blah.
So I just want to make one modification to that because I do want to be accurate. So one shop who I also PR'd for sent what I understand to be a similar message. I don't know because I didn't PR for the other two shops. But in their message, they distinctly said, we don't use, to our knowledge, we don't use AI art. And we want to know, you know, but it's possible that we could, like, in the sense of, like, it's possible that we could but not know, but, like, to our knowledge, we don't use AI art. But what are your thoughts about it? So
they, okay, they may have, all three messages were basically the same.
Yeah, I think that they just may have changed some of the words around about if they used it or not.
Right. Okay.
So some of them did use it and some of them didn't. At least, so one of them didn't use it and then two of them did use it. And I think that that was accurately reflected in the messages that they sent to their PR teams is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That sounds about right. And so then your, to use your word, there was a big shebangle about it somewhere else. And people were going in, and I don't know if you know what going in means, but
yeah,
you know what I mean. You get the
vibe. People were making, okay, so for people were making ad hominem attacks.
Girl, don't nobody know what that shit means.
People were attacking me as a human. If you seem like a wee blonde, you, okay, am I just, like, super white? I think I might just be super white.
You're just white as hell.
If you seem really blonde, you know what that hominem means.
I ain't never seen legally blonde before. What?
Okay, fine. Okay, basically they were attacking me as a human instead of engaging with the, like, the substance. Of
they make
the,
that shit real personal. Boom.
Exactly. Thank you for translating. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not. I'm super white.
I know how to make. I know how to calm it down. Make it normal for us normal people. I mean, white people be basic too. So
it's
yeah,
true.
I'm just making it basic.
But I think okay. Anyway, we don't have to go into whether or not most white people have seen Legally Blonde, which I think is the case.
Is
but accurate. Anyway.
Actually, I have. I'm just talking shit, but anyway, yeah, they started attacking her personally, which was whack as fuck.
One of the other things that was super weird is that people were talking with me, and I thought everything was fine. Everything sounded fine, and then they were like attacking me or having other conversations with other people about how I had behaved and it not being fine, aka like somebody was like, hey, like how can I tell if this is real or not, or like if this is AI generated or not, and I like gave them the info that I had and they were like, cool, thanks, and I was like, yeah, thanks so much for like having this conversation publicly, I think it's going to help a lot of people, and then they were like, yeah, great, awesome, like to my face/in my DMs, and then like
face, motherfucker.
Saying something else behind my back. But the main thing isn't just that people had thoughts, right? Sometimes I bitch about other humans to my friends. That's not the issue. The issue is that then they started DMing they started like going through all of my posts and finding inconsistencies, finding, like, claiming that I was unethical in my business. Some of the claims that they made were accurate. Some of the claims that they, and I was very upfront with people who asked me about it. Some of the claims that they made, and I believe I'm upfront with cooks and frolicking brains about most things, like every, I don't know, like I don't intend to hide anything.
I think you are very upfront in frolicking brains.
And thank you. That's what I try to do. But some people started like lying and saying that I told them that I would send them stuff that I never sent. And that was like a lie. Some people said that I said that I would send them stuff that I hadn't sent. And that was true. I hadn't sent it yet, but I had every intention of sending it.
Had you told people prior to that moment that you would be sending it? Like, did you ever reach out and go, hey, bruh, life is life, and like a motherfucker, and I'm just late right now, I'm going to get it to you?
No. So when people sent me messages, like, hey, I noticed that you hadn't sent this, like, is it in the mail or is it lost? I was like, no, I was very upfront. I was like, no, I haven't sent it. But I wasn't proactive. I will say that, like, that is something that I learned from this experience, is that, like, I need to be more proactive, both in frolicking brain, just in general in life. I think that, like a lot of people, when I feel like I'm not doing something that I said I was going to do or that I feel like I'm supposed to do, I tend to, like, retreat.
Because you're disappointed in yourself, huh?
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself. I feel ashamed, and I hide it, and I hide myself, too, right? Like,
no, I completely feel you on that.
So, and I think that's a totally, like, normal reaction. I think that's how we've been socialized and conditioned in our society to, because we've been conditioned to feel shame when we don't do what we say we're going to do, or when we don't do what we think we should do, and then what we think, you know, is good to do. And then, yeah, so, like, I responded to all but one message, and that message I had intended to respond to, I just, like, did that thing that I think we all sometimes do, where, like, I was like, ooh, not right now. Like, maybe I saw it, like, around 3 a.m. or something. I was, like, half asleep, and I was like, oh, I'll respond to this later. I marked it as unread to come back to, but I just didn't get back to it. And at some point, it got so far down in my Instagram messages that it no longer even came up as in my alerts, you know what I mean, where it says, like, in my notifications.
Yeah,
and then you,
I just want to know who is DMing y'all like that. Like, I need somebody. Can y'all slide in my DMs so I can feel like somebody DMing me?
I will slide in your DMs more frequently.
Well, thank you.
I will put that on my to-dos. If I don't do it, though, please don't make a big post about how I didn't do what I said I was going to do.
Like, no, I won't. I'm just going to be begging more people to do it.
Yeah. So it's also the kind of thing where, like, so I do that, and my philosophy is, like, okay, if it's important, somebody will follow up with me on it. Like, I not to wear multiple times, like, I prioritize it. You know what I mean? But, like, if it's one message that I haven't responded to and I'd responded to previous messages. Anyway, we're getting into, like, all of the details, and I'm getting a little defensive, I'm feeling, in myself. But, like, basically, I was just a human. I did human things. I cared a lot about my samplers, which is a separate conversation. And so I didn't want to just send out, like, whatever, like, some other people do.
Oh, you mean, like, the bullshit samplers that we get all the time?
I didn't want to send out bullshit samplers. I wanted to send out really usable samplers. And I had this, like, whole vision for how I was going to do it. But then right before the sale, I had a conversation with my advisor about how I was going on leave and what our relationship was going to look like, and I basically had a 5-day-long panic attack between that and my very first collab sale, and I didn't get the sampler sent out, and then once the sale was over, I was like, it's cool, like, we'll just send the samplers, like, when we send the samplers, and it wasn't a big priority for me, and so I didn't send them, but I had every intention to send them eventually. And I don't mean that as in never. I mean that, like, very literally, as in, like, once I had developed what the sampler was going to be and my vision for it, had I known that it was very, very important to people that I get them out on time or earlier, I would have sent them just, like I have plenty of die cuts of my shop logo. I would have sent them die cuts. But I wanted to send samplers that were really usable, and I had this big vision for it, and I have enacted that vision at this point. And so I don't know. So I think my samplers are really great, but it was just that kind of thing, right? And like, I don't put pressure on myself anymore around that kind of stuff because I feel like it leads to more shame. It means that I just like abandon communities that I'm a part of. It means I don't post, like if I'm too ashamed because I haven't done everything that I think I should do, I stop showing up completely. And I don't want to do that in Frolicking Brains or in the planner community in general. And so showing up online, I kept, you know, posting about my thoughts. And I also had in the background, like, and at some point I need to send these things that I said I was going to send.
Right. But, and maybe this is because we are now friends. I think this whole thing really kind of made us friends.
I think so too, especially because as like you won the giveaway, like my giveaway in Subcult, and I gave away, you know, coaching, and I gave away a month. I should double check, but I think I gave away like a month of Frolicking Brains, like the highest tier membership, which involves coaching and two additional calls. And so, you know, you've participated in Frolicking Brains, and, you know, we talked about some of this after it happened. And yeah, I feel like this is how we became close.
Yeah. Let's even go back there.
And honestly, with a lot of my other friends too, when they saw this happen, and they were like, dude, are you okay? And I, for like a whole week after all of this happened, I did not go to sleep without having had like a 2 to 3 hour conversation with different people in the planner community who were like, hey, are you okay? I want to check on you. And then we just, you know, you end up chatting for a while. At least I always end up chatting for a while, hence of being an hour and a half in and almost needing to get off, and like, you know, us being halfway through the story.
But we knew because I said it for 2 hours, so we got 30 minutes left.
Oh, cool. Okay, you know me. You know me.
I know you. I know the vibes. Not only were you in the Subculture Syndicate sale, and this is where all this, I didn't even mention the name of the group, but now that we're here. Fuck Subculture Syndicate. Okay, you hear my point of view on it, and I stand on that 10 toes down. None of those shops sponsor Real Talk, Real Plans. It is not the opinion of Plans and JC. It is solely Real Talk with Riri, and if you come for me, come correct, because, baby, I'm already on papers. I ain't got much else left to use.
I will say that Subculture Syndicate, people involved in Subculture Syndicate posted privileged information that I had not consented to be come public, aka like that I hadn't fulfilled these, and not just like people saying like, hey, I'm a shop owner and JC said that she would send me these samplers and she hasn't yet. That's one thing. It was, you know, somebody said that they had checked with every single shop owner and I hadn't sent them, and well, I guess we're just, like, really into, you know, the drama now, but, like, into the mess. But, like, that information from the perspective of, like, that sale information, and the issue for me is that nobody consents when they enter a collab sale that if they don't do what they say they're going to do, or if they do something that is bad for the sale, right, that if they don't fulfill their obligations to the sale, that usually the punishment, and this is spelled out very clearly in all of the collab sales that I've been a part of since, and in the subculture information, right, that the worst case scenario is
you just don't get to be in the sale. No.
Usually there's like, okay, you won't be able to participate in the next 3 cycles or in some amount of cycles. And then after a certain point, you may be banned from participating in the sale ever. That's the worst punishment that can come from not doing what you're supposed to do for a sale. I did not consent to have that information posted on the internet.
Okay. So in the group Subculture Syndicate, you did a giveaway. And in the giveaway, you gave away 3 coaching calls and, like you said, a month of Frolicking Brains, which is like journaling together. You get a cute fucking journal. You get sticker kits to go with it. You get prompts.
They're not like AI generated prompts. They're like prompts that AI would generate if a mushroom melted into the keyboard and the circuits were hallucinating. Like, that's the kind of prompts that you get in Frolicking Brains. They're prompts that are specifically created to try to induce a playful, frolicking experience for you.
Oh, yeah. And
out of them,
when all of that stuff happened, you didn't have to honor that. Even if because we weren't like super close then. Like we knew each other. That was it. And I think I was even put off of a team because they assumed that we were like friends then, which if you're listening, you were wrong. Okay. So anyway.
I think you had come to Planner Shenanigans. Like, I knew you. You were like, you know, Danny's friend.
Danny's friend? You know,
I don't know. I think that you had found out on, maybe you weren't her friend. Maybe I just associated y'all because, like, you would come to Planner Shenanigans from her live.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know Danny.
Okay.
I didn't even know. I just came because
Now I assume that y'all are friends because she's on the podcast every other week.
Yeah, hey, now Danny. We're friends. Now we're friends. Hey, Danny, I didn't call you today because your husband was at home. Okay.
We hope you're getting the nookie. Hope you're getting the good.
Ooh, yeah. Simpix. Okay. Maybe don't Simpix. Sorry. Too far. Okay.
Not far enough. I don't know.
But okay. You didn't have to go through with any of that, you know? And you did.
Over. This wasn't about, like, fucking anyone over. Like, it was really hard for me when this happened, and we haven't really gone into all the ways that it was very hard for me. But, like, I wasn't going to make it hard for other people. Like, I'm not going to fuck you over.
Well, I mean, you didn't have to, and you didn't, and I appreciate that. And, Danny's not getting any right now. Oh.
I'm sorry, Danny. What do we need to send your husband to make sure that he gives you the...
Just call in. Mm-hmm. Call in. You're fine. Just call in. You're okay. You know? Just join. Is that a cry face? I don't know if it's a cry face. But you can call in at any time. You know, you're always welcome here. So you did it, and I appreciate that. And I have all the emotions, and I was able to get closer to so many more people, and I think I finally found another set of people I can trust because, I'm about to go super deep on y'all for 2 seconds, but I think, like I said, after my sister died, and the whole experience with this whole program, I mean, like, some things happened, and I just lost trust in friends and who I can call my friend and who believes in me and who's going to support me, because I was very, very supportive of people when they made mistakes. And there was this one person who I thought was my best friend, and when I needed her in the same capacity that she needed me, she told me that she could not be my friend. And it really broke a level of trust that I had in people, period, you know? And so I think that, you know, going through this with you guys, I say you guys because it really happened to the whole community that they associated themselves with you, because
It did. Like, that's part of what was so hard. It was hard for me. It was also brutal to witness people who care about me, like, feel scared to associate with me, feel scared to post their own opinions about not just AI, but about anything. Because the thing is, I'm not, AI, like, isn't, it's become something I've learned a lot about because of this.
But it's not your passion.
It's not my passion. Like, queering the spread is my passion. Laying down washi tape in wonky ways is my passion. Like, AI, I was just like, I would like to know. And I won't shop with you if you don't care about this, because, like, I care that people can make purchasing decisions aligned with their values. Again, if I wanted to not, if I wanted to buy from a company who I knew didn't align with my values, I would buy from Happy Planner. Like, that, not to, like, this isn't a Happy Planner call out call, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've learned a lot more about AI, but, like, that's the thing, is that this wasn't something that I cared super deeply about. What I care deeply about is people being able to post their opinions and be themselves very loudly, post their opinions, share their opinions with other people. So on the internet, that looks like posting, but in your life, it looks like
talking
to the people who you care about, right? It looks like advocating for a raise in your office, right? And, like, managing your, like, income. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I help people with when I coach, like,
or like being able to ask for people to buy you a coffee on your show because they want to support you on your show and make sure that you can pay for the thing. Hint, hint, hint. Go to my LinkedIn tree and buy me a coffee.
Yeah, and we're asking for sponsorships.
Yes.
And
that's why we're working on it.
Exactly, and that's, like, why I sponsor you, is because I think that, like, yeah, I think that spending money in ways that align with your values is something that I really care about, because we live under capitalism, and that is what it is. But it's also, there are ways in which we can operate under it, and under, you know, patriarchal systems, and under a racist system, and under ableist systems, and social structures. And so what I'm really passionate about is, like, helping people. What I'm really passionate about is, like, helping people find their power in conditions that are not built to empower them. And that's what I work with people on. Anyway, so what was really hard was watching my community not, like, feel scared because of what was happening. What was hard is watching myself feel scared. You know, I'm pro, I have a lot of tools, and I'm pro feeling scared and doing it anyway. But, like, I was in the Budget Be Damned sale, like, shout out, I love them. Honestly, that admin team, I reached out to that admin team as all of this was happening, because, like I said, people were, again, we haven't, like, gone into all of the details, but people were DMing all of my PR teams, and telling them that they shouldn't associate with somebody who was involved in this much drama, and that they were going to have to pick a side, and that sending them not just screenshots, but Canva, like, people gathered stuff that I had posted in Canva and made it look like I was calling out teams that I was on that I had been a part of, shops that I had been representing for a year and a half.
Well, you mean to tell me these wax melt selling bitches ain't have nothing better to do than to create shit to talk about you when they could really just be selling some shit?
Well, they
it couldn't feel some shit. Okay, all right.
Yeah, but some people created, you can tell because of the shading, you know, went into Canva and created a really beautiful compilation of, they created a really beautiful collage of a bunch of stuff that I had posted and some stuff from one of the shops that I PR for, their website, screenshots of the website. And they didn't just take screenshots and send them one after the other. They created a really beautiful, really nice collage with dating
gorgeous
and everything.
Put the face on there and on it.
Yeah. And I didn't know that because I'm not in, I wasn't in the spaces where all of that was happening, but I was DM'd a picture of it, and I was like, wow, that's
dedication.
That's effort. You know,
that is effort.
Collages that I make in my planner spread to imagine my future with the art that I care about.
Exactly. I think it's really ridiculous, really.
It's true. I mean, truly, it's dedication. It's something. It's something. So yeah, like, what was the point?
One of the comments is, the bitches did a fucking Canva burn book like some fucking true mean girls. And that's exactly what it reminds me of. Mean girls. They mean.
Yeah.
No reason.
Well, and just like Mean Girls, people were lying about the people literally, shop owners lied about stuff that I had done. I like looked at some of the stuff that they said. I was like, I don't even know that person. Why is that person saying that I said that? I don't even know them. They've never followed me. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway, so what was really hard was, like, watching me feel afraid to take another step. Anyway, right, so I was in the Budget Be Damn Club sale. I was terrified to post in the group. I mean, I did post sometimes, and I know that at that point we were closer, and you also posted about your experience in Frolicking Brains, and I really appreciated that, too. But it was hard to watch myself feel afraid, and so afraid that it didn't feel possible yet. I knew that it would someday feel possible for me to post as loudly or to say things that I care about on the internet. But for a while, it was really hard. And I just started posting like planner spreads again, and I made a ton of spreads. I like finished my planner through like August 6th and it was really hard to not
a daily planner.
Yeah, it's a daily. It's also not, it's more of my like daily vision boards than it is a real like planner. So I did like daily collages through August 6th. And it was hard to feel that afraid and to know that I had the tools for it. But to sit in that place where, and this is what, you know, I'll not to shameless plug, but this is what I do with clients too, is like, we don't push through fear in ways that are like traumatizing. Like it is more likely to build stronger belief in yourself, stronger confidence if you feel but just a little bit scared, but not terrified.
I can give you a really good real-time example. Before the big gay wedding, I was like, what in the fuck? And you was like, what? Tell me, what's going on? And you really helped me think like, okay, so what are you afraid of? And I'm like, I don't have a dress yet. What if my dress doesn't fit? What if my dress malfunctions? What if people are looking at me wrong? What if I get stood up at the altar? What if, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so you really just kind of walked me through it. Okay, so if your dress doesn't work, what are you going to do? And then you gave me the really smart tool of the Nicki Minaj moment. And okay, so next. If people are talking shit, they didn't come there for you, they came to eat. Okay, next. You don't have to talk to them ever again in your life. Okay, next. What if Sonya stands you up at the altar? So I just went in and asked, like, hey, Sonya, if you stand me up at the altar, can I beat your ass and then we break up? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. All right. So, you know, we really walked through it and kind of went through all of my fears. And so it was like, okay, I felt like I had a plan just in case. And you gave me the okay to do that, whereas most people is like, girl, you ain't got nothing to worry about. What you scared of? You actually allowed me to be afraid and be able to voice those opinions. And I think even with this program and you listening to me about that, which I really do think that's going to be like a Wednesday show. I'm going to do it, y'all. I ain't scared. I'm just going to tell y'all while I'm El Chapo. I mean, fuck that shit, right? I mean, anyway. But I think that's the best part about your coaching is that you allow people to work through all of their emotions because, you know, crying is not necessarily bad. Being afraid is not bad. What do you do through those emotions? And I think that's, you know, a good thing.
Totally. Totally. Like, I was not going to be like, it's your wedding day. What do you mean you feel afraid? Like, of course you feel fucking terrified. Like, I would feel terrified too.
Right.
I don't know. Like, and I think that for me it was also, like, I think there's also sometimes when we're, so with your wedding, that was a good example of, like, okay, we walk through everything that could happen, and it turns out that none of them are as scary as you think they are, or as you thought they are, as you felt like they might have been before you said it out loud. And so we came up with plans. For me, right after this, I didn't want, like, knowing that this was possible and even probable since it's happened before and people were watching me, you know, I blocked some people, but it was still, like, I was still getting messages. It went from daily to weekly. And then I also set up, like, an email called, I'll just tell y'all in case y'all want to, you know, send me hate mail. It's called Shit Haters Say About JC at gmail.com. Feel free to send all hate mail there.
Hold on. I think we have a caller. Let me look at something real quick. Hold on, caller. I'm coming.
Okay, let me just keep talking really quick. So
okay.
There are fears that you have where it's not just, like, create a plan. Like, for me, I was afraid that this would happen again, and I wasn't ready for that yet. And so I ended up not posting as much as I had wanted to post. And that was okay too, right? And then I loved myself through it. I loved myself through not hitting the numbers, not feeling as good about the sale. It's not just about the numbers. It's also, like, the first sale that I was in, I felt like everybody, it was like the first time people were celebrating my art and my work and Season's art and our collaborations and because I collaborate with Season Inc. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. And, like, people were celebrating my creations, and this time I didn't feel that way, but I also didn't hate myself for that. And so I think that there are, like, multiple levels of dealing with fear. Just if we could, like, extract a lesson really quick. One of them is, like, write down the worst case, like, the worst possible scenario, and then walk yourself through it. Like, what would I do if this happened, and would that be okay? Would I feel okay about it? For Erica, everything that she came up with that she was afraid of, when we looked at it and we thought about what she would do if that happened, it was like, and we would keep going. Like, and of course I would deal with feeling deeply upset and hurt if, so, like, you would feel deeply upset and hurt if Sonya left you at the altar, right? Like, that's not...
But I have permission to be her aunt and then break up.
Exactly. And you have permission to feel deeply upset and hurt. And I was like, I will be a part of, like, we will do a coaching call on that. It will be, you know, we will deal with this. So
hold on. We have 10
minutes
left and I need to answer. Hold on.
Perfect.
Come correct or don't come at all. Hold on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Steph!
Hey, JC.
Hey. I've heard lots about you on this podcast. This is the first time that you are calling in.
Yeah.
Is that right?
This is the first time I've called in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
I've listened. I've listened to a lot of them, but I haven't called in.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, Erica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm so glad that you called in. Of all the numbers that I had written down, yours is one I did not have.
So you're trying to figure out who I was, huh?
Yeah, I was. I was hesitating because, like I said, come correct or don't come at all. Because, baby, I will hang up. What do you think about AI?
Well, I've got several thoughts on AI art. Personally, when you made that post, I didn't think of anything of it when you made it because, I mean, that was just a logical question to ask. It's something that's definitely a part of the planner community already. It's not something that's probably going to go away. We're going to see more of it. So I was like, okay, this is a cool post, you know. And then everything just kind of went crazy after that. So I couldn't believe it because, for me, it's really simple. I am one of these consumers who is very careful about who I buy from because I want them to, you know, be aligned with my values, if you will. I don't want them to be, you know, mean-spirited. I don't want them to be homophobic. I don't want them to be against, you know, black people or anything else. I don't want them to be against minority groups and stuff like that.
You've also posted, like, your breakup happy planner. Like, you were public with your breakup with the happy planner who you had supported.
Yeah, that's correct.
Prominently. Because
that's where I started. Yeah, that's exactly why I quit using happy planner. But, I mean, I see it from the perspective of this is really a simple choice for shop owners, in my opinion. All you have to do is put on each listing that you have, you can just put, is this hand-drawn art? Is this flip art? Is this AI art? That's all you're asking. You're not asking them to divulge their sources and where they're getting all their stuff. It's not about that. It's about what kind of art is this. And then I also look at it from the perspective of being an artist myself, that if I had work out here, you know, that AI was pulling from, I mean, you know, that's not right. It's just not right for them to steal art and to use it as their own and to be making money from that somebody else is toiled for. And, you know, it's just, personally, I don't know that I will ever use AI art. I may have used some and don't know that it is AI art or whatever, but, I mean, if people send it to me, I guess I would use it, but it's not something I'm going to specifically go out here and look for from an artist's perspective and from a consumer who is, you know, very conscious about what people are doing behind the scenes, so to speak. But what happened to you, JC, was just awful. They took that so far, that was just straight up bullying. And, you know, I said my piece about it in my stories. But, I mean, you know, as those of us who were your friends, to just sit back and watch people do that, it was terrible. I mean, it was just awful what they were doing to you. And, you know, in a sense, doing to the planner community at large also. So, I mean, it was awful.
Yeah, it was. I hated it, and it was plenty of nights I did not go to sleep. I didn't want to be a part of a community that could treat somebody like that for no goddamn reason. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Like you said, opinions are made to be had, and fuck you whole bitches. Like, that's why I got a podcast. So we can say what the fuck we want to say. And it's not fair that you said something and you made them check their own privilege. You made them check their privilege and they were afraid that people were going to stop shopping with them. And that is a me problem and not a you problem. And they shouldn't have turned that around. And on another episode, we're going to talk about why I hate the B word, but that was clearly bullying. Clearly. And I hate that word.
Yeah. It was very, very, very much bullying, in my opinion. And it's, I mean, there are a lot of people who say, oh, I hate bullying, but nobody spoke up. I mean, there were a few of us who did, but there were a lot more who should have.
Yeah, it was interesting. There were a lot of people who said, I hate bullying,
but.
Yep. But they didn't want to get involved. That's like standing on the sidelines and watching somebody get beat up. I mean, you know, and not jumping in and trying to help them. In my opinion, that's the same thing.
Kind of reminds me of that show, not Undercover Boss, What Would You Do? Where they, you know, they talk about, something happens, they have this fake scenario, and they watch to see what the fuck people will do. And a lot of times people just don't do shit because it's some bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there are a lot of reasons that people do that, too. I think sometimes it's fear that they don't, that they're afraid to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, what would that do to my business, or what would that do to my planner page? You know, that kind of thing. But, I mean, I still think, you know, when it came to the point of them contacting her PR people and shops that she has worked with, somebody should have been willing to say something. I mean, I don't know.
And
that's just me.
People you have earned. You have made them fucking money. Yeah.
Some of these people I've given, it was tough. It was tough that this was subcult because I've supported subcult both as a thing and individual shops, both with my own money, whatever. You can't keep it. It's not like when I buy planner stickers, I'm like expecting to buy people's loyalty or friendship too. Like, that's not it, but it was also like I, you know, promoted the fuck out of those shops and that sale. And to me, it was really hard because it was such an honor to be a part of it. Like, I felt genuinely overjoyed. I felt bubbly ecstatic when I was a part of the sale, when I participated in the sale, and when I knew that I was going to participate in the sale, like leading up to the sale.
They don't deserve your greatness. Period.
And you had always been such a big supporter of subcult. That's why I started doing the subcult previews. I mean, you know, because I started really enjoying the sale and stuff because of you.
Well, that's why we're going to have to get a different kind of preview. I tried to get you. I threw you a hint the last time, but you weren't really biting on my shit. But maybe this time I got a little bit more cool. And I can get
maybe.
You kind of. Whatever the next sale. Oh, no. Okay, you guys. We have 90 seconds left. 90 seconds.
I'm the Planner Shenanigans, me and Dub host, and Danny, who you love.
Okay, so come to Planner Shenanigans. Deb, do you have any final words?
I just want to call in to support JC and support you, and just so, you know, you guys know how much I care about you.
Thank you so much.
We know. Well, you know, as usual, I'm just going to tell you, be messy and not malicious like them hoes, because them hoes was definitely malicious. And if you have more questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to drop by, drop in my DMs. I'm trying to get some people in my DMs, y'all. Stop playing with me. give me some attention or something. That's not right. So, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, drop in my DMs. Buy me a coffee. Subscribe, LinkedIn tree, all that good stuff. Go shop. Frolicking Brains. Shop the Paper Fan. And on that note, we out.